Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš will not attend meetings of the Czech Republic's Council for European Structural and Investment Funds. Czech diplomats will vote against the Global Compact on Migration set to take place at the General Assembly of the UN on Wednesday. And the former Czech football captain Tomáš Rosický has been appointed sporting director for Sparta Prague Football Club. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš will not attend meetings of the Czech Republic's Council for European Structural and Investment Funds, which makes recommendations for the distribution of EU money, the government's press department said. Under a draft amendment to the Regional Development Act approved by the government on Monday, the Council can be chaired by another cabinet member. The move comes in reaction to the EU's criticism of the Czech Prime Minister over potential conflict of interest. MEPs on Friday voted for the suspension of all EU payments to Agrofert, a company linked to Mr. Babiš, until his alleged conflict of interests is settled. Czech diplomats will vote against the Global Compact on Migration set to take place at the General Assembly of the United Nations on Wednesday, Foreign Minister Miroslav Petříček told the Czech news agency on Monday. According to the government's previous statements, they were likely to abstain from the vote. The cabinet announced earlier that it would withdraw from the pact, citing ambiguities in its interpretation. Czech officials argue that the compact doesn't draw a clear line between legal and illegal migration, or state that illegal migration is undesirable. In an interview for the Daily Pravo, Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said the Ministry of Foreign Affairs hasn't yet officially announced the Czech Republic's withdrawal from the compact. Around a dozen countries, including the US, Austria, Hungary and Poland, have also refused to support it. The Czech army has property worth some 6.5 billion crowns sitting idle and in varying states of disrepair or even ruin, according to a report by the Supreme Audit Office. To administer the properties, which include many former military barracks, the army spent about 32 billion crowns last year in upkeep, the report says. A spokesman for the Ministry of Defense said that by the end of 2020, assets identified as unneeded will be prepared for transfer or sale. The Czech Republic is Europe's biggest exporter of toys, suggests an analysis carried out by UniCredit Bank. Czech production of toys last year amounted to a total of 51.6 billion crowns. The Czech Republic, along with Slovakia, has been the fastest growing toy exporter in the European Union since 2004. The growth is fueled mainly by production of Lego brick sets, which had been gradually moved to the country. Lego, along with dolls and miniature models, belong among the most exported items. The former Czech football captain Tomáš Rosický has been appointed sporting director for Sparta Prague Football Club. He will replace in the post Zdeněk Šťastný, who will continue to serve as the club's coach. Rosický, who began his career at Sparta, will be responsible for the team's long-term sporting strategy and will oversee the club's transfers. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Tuesday is expected to be mostly overcast with occasional snow showers and daytime temperatures ranging between 0 and 4 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková and you can find more news at radio.cz. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's program, a novel database featuring thousands of companies has been created to help Czech soldiers secure jobs when they leave the army. And new metro line contracts are under scrutiny as City Hall changes leadership. We have a summary of the latest Czech sports news. And later we speak to Dr. Michael Lonsborough, a man who lies at the forefront of popularizing science in the Czech Republic. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A novel database featuring thousands of companies has been created to help Czech soldiers secure jobs when they leave the army. Around 800 soldiers depart the force every year, and for some it can be difficult to find their feet in the jobs market once they return to civvy streets. Ian Willoughby reports.
The Czech army has been fully professional since the beginning of 2005, when a long tradition of compulsory military service was brought to an end. At present, the army has over 24,000 soldiers, with around 800 leaving every year. Jiří Kašpárek signed up at the age of 19 and after serving in Afghanistan, Bosnia and Kosovo, eventually decided to try something else. He spoke to Czech Radio.
I found myself in a situation where I didn't want to continue for personal reasons. I decided to make the change. I had served for 25 years, so I was at an age where I could start again, so I decided to leave voluntarily. Generally speaking, it's not easy. If you work for one firm for 25 years, it's not so easy to make the change.
Now the Ministry of the Interior and the Czech Confederation of Industry have teamed up to create a database of companies offering jobs to former soldiers. The Minister of Defence, ANO nominee Lubomír Metnar, described the scheme.
Things will now be much easier for modern-day soldiers who have returned from international missions. They will have access to a database of over 11,000 companies. Depending on their fields of expertise, they will be able to find a position that suits them.
The president of the Confederation of Industry, Jaroslav Hanák, told Czech Radio that veterans could be suited to employment in fields such as transport, energy or the auto industry.
We post job offers in individual regions on a website. Then it depends on their experience. They may have been clerks who worked in an office or the military staff, military vehicle drivers or paratroopers who are in great shape physically.
Eduard Stehlík is the head of the Ministry of Defence Department that oversees Veterans Affairs. He said ex-soldiers had a lot to offer.
There are people who have served in the army for 15 or 20 years. During that time, they have driven millions of kilometres with heavy gear. They're capable of reorientation to road haulage, working cranes and constructions, to the kind of heavy machinery that is used in the army. They have so much experience, but they have to undergo basic courses to receive the papers they need in the civilian world.
As well as the new database, former soldiers can also draw on dozens of existing retraining courses offered by the Czech Army.
Ian Willoughby with that report. Now, plans for constructing a fourth metro line in the Czech capital are nearly as old as Prague's first metro station, yet they have proceeded at a snail's pace with multiple delays. The recently elected mayor has pledged to begin construction during his time in office, but a recent review of old contracts threatens to slow progress again. Tom McEncrow has more.
Talk of a fourth D line of the Prague metro was recently reinvigorated as the new mayor of Prague, Zdeněk Hřib of the Pirate Party, told Czech Radio that City Hall intends to begin construction during his term in office.
We intend to start building within the next 4 years. The building will be started during this election term. However, the first section won't be finished until the next election term.
The main purpose of the line is to relieve the sea line, the busiest of Prague's metro lines. It is due to run on a north-south axis, connecting the large housing estates in the south of the city with the centre. Currently, the new coalition, which assumed power in November, is also reviewing and changing the leadership at the city's various administrative departments and businesses. On Monday, Czech Radio came out with a story that shows some tenders within the Prague Public Transit Company are possibly being hurriedly modified before the company's current director, Martin Gilar, is reviewed by the new supervisory committee later this week. Specifically, questions are being asked why the price of a 580 million crown contract that concerns the construction of the D-Line with a company called IDS is being increased by a further 58 million crowns. Hanna Kordova-Marvanova, who is one of the city's newly elected councillors, consulted the contract with external lawyers.
When we look at the provided documents, it is not clear why the price should increase according to the contract signed in 2010. The contract says the price is fixed.
Mrs. Kordova-Marvanova is now warning the Prague Public Transport Company against signing a new contract, which she says could be seen also as an illegal step. Mr. Gillar, who leads Prague's public transport company, says he is happy to wait until the new leadership will check the documentation more thoroughly before any signatures are made. However, IDS told Czech Radio that even the 60 million crowns increase was too little and the contract had been signed nearly 10 years ago. Its manager, Michal Letz, says that unless important specifications to the contract are made, the construction of the new metro line could be slowed down.
Tom McEncrow with that report, and Tom stays in the studio with a summary of the latest Czech sports news.
Czech double Olympic gold medalist Ester Ledecká, who is competing both in the snowboard and ski World Cups, has gone into the lead in the former after winning the giant slalom in Cortina d'Ampezzo, Italy, on Saturday. Ledecká, who was a finalist of the BBC's Sports Personality of the Year, will be skiing this week as she competes in the Super G race in Val Gardena. The Czech ice hockey team had a hard time in Russia at one of the tournaments that are part of the Euro Hockey Tour, the Channel 1 Cup. Miloš Riha's side lost 2-7 to Russia. The Czechs also lost 2-3 to Sweden in their final game in Moscow, a result that left them bottom of the table. They're also bottom in the Euro Hockey Tour overall. Monday's Europa League draw in the Swiss town of Nyon decided who will face each other in the round of 32 in the Europa League, the continent's second-tier club competition. Two Czech teams are still in the competition. Viktoria Plzeň is to face Dynamo Zagreb, and Slavia Prague will take on Belgian team Genk. Both Czech clubs will start the two-legged ties at home on February 14th. Former Czech football captain Tomáš Rosický has been appointed sporting director for Sparta Prague Football Club. He will replace, in the post, Zdeněk Šťastný, who will continue to serve as the club's coach. Rosický, who began his career at Sparta, will be responsible for the team's long-term sporting strategy and will oversee the club's transfers.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. One of the events showcased during this year's Open Week at the Czech Academy of Sciences was a contest where young scientists pitted their presenting skills against each other in a bid to entertain and educate the audience about important scientific questions. The event was presented by a man who lies at the forefront of popularizing science in the country. Tom McEncrow has more.
That the Czech Republic boasts a proud scientific history is a well-known fact, and with inventions such as the soft contact lens and polarography behind their belt, it comes perhaps as no surprise. Yet how does one ensure that upcoming generations remain as excited about science as their forebears? Dr. Michael Lonsborough believes he has at least part of the answer. He is a British chemist who works at the Czech Academy of Sciences, specialising in inorganic chemistry. Yet he also has become quite famous across the country as a populariser of science. And no wonder, his schedule would put many CEOs to shame.
So I have a rather wide and diverse spectrum of activities, ranging from, as you alluded to, experiments or scientific shows where I, take a particular topic and I try to make that as dynamic as possible and as full of demonstrations and experiments and interactivity as possible. And that ranges from subject matters such as energy through to my research work in boron chemistry and lasers, to light and sound, to music, to love and Shakespeare, to all sorts of different outlets. And I collaborate with many very powerful and brilliant people who add things to that, whether it be through the Shakespearean sonnets and Professor Martin Hilsky and his work in his translation to the Czech language, to the Prague Philharmonic Quartet Orchestra and working with them and trying to explain how music and sound works. And additionally to these sort of live performances, then I've done a lot of work on Czech television. So since, 2007, more than 300 episodes, I think, have gone out of... It started off with Report, which was a science magazine, a weekly magazine on Czech television, on Čete dvojku. And that was a magazine program, and I had my own little slot called Michael's Experiment. And so every week they would do a story or in which there would be embedded an experiment which people could often repeat at home or at school.
I caught up with Dr. Lonsborough while he was moderating another activity he has been long involved in. FameLab is an international competition that was first introduced to the Czech Republic through the British Council in 2011. As the Council's country director, Denis Waddingham, proudly announced, FameLab now stretches across 33 countries in 5 continents. The competition is primarily aimed at popularising science through discovering talented scientists that have a knack for explaining scientific problems in a simple and entertaining way. The contestants themselves, who go first through a regional and then a national round, also have much to gain, as Dr. Lonsborough explains.
The winner of the national competitions goes on to represent the Czech Republic in the international final and therefore gets to go to Cheltenham in England and experience the whole science festival there and all the subsequent opportunities that are afforded to them. But other than that, there's also another the four sort of runners-up usually get prizes which are given by our very generous sponsors. You know, the Academy of Sciences usually has a prize, the Foundation of Tomáš Bati usually has a prize, Czech Centres has a prize. So, and these can range from iPads to book vouchers to opportunities to travel to England. So there's various prizes in the pot, as it were. But I think the main prize is they enter into a community, an international community, of very talented young scientists from across all the different branches of science. And what is such a pleasure for me is to see how that family, as it were, how that's growing in number and in strength. And in today's world of social media and cheap flights and hopping around, it's amazing how they keep in contact, and that leads to all sorts of subsequent benefits, I think, both in their professional lives as scientists, you know, where they expand their network of colleagues, but also as well, then they're often invited to talk about, you know, their science at different venues around the world. And it's such a wonderful opportunity for them.
That friendships forge in the competition was quite clear through the communal atmosphere among the FameLab contestants, who gathered to promote the competition as part of the Czech Academy of Sciences Week of Science and Technology. Titled International Echoes in Prague, it was a gathering of successful contestants from countries including Spain, Turkey and the United States. The winner of the Czech competition, Lucia Doležalková, says that almost all of the Czech contestants are students, even though FameLab is open to anyone over the age of 21. UK winner Lucy Guile agreed that it is also mostly students who take part in the competition in Britain, but having entered as a young doctor in the NHS, her success is proof that professionals can gain a lot as well. With only 3 minutes to engage the audience, the young scientist gets straight down to business, explaining complex structures such as black holes and virology in hilarious and often gruesome ways. The presentation of American Maureen Williams, whose research brought her to Ireland and the local FameLab competition, was a case in point.
My 3-minute talk was about guinea worm, which is a parasite that causes a disease called dracunculiasis. There's a huge eradication effort at the moment to get rid of it so that humans are no longer infected. And I'm talking about the methods that we came up with, which are filtered straws and monitoring to help us stop guinea worm and help heal people.
Okay, I understand the guinea worm has a rather gory way of showing itself. Could you tell us?
Yeah, so guinea worm actually travels from your intestines and your stomach into your foot. So it responds to gravity. It moves downwards, tunneling through your body, at which point you usually put your foot in water to get a bit of cooling relief. That's when the parasite strikes. It tunnels out through your skin and lays its eggs into the water.
Okay, but when you said we're eradicating it, what's the current situation? If you had to give us some stats, how's it looking?
So we've gone from 3.5 million cases in 1986 down to 30 last year. There are only 2 countries with active infections and 4 countries which have not met the criteria for full eradication.
Apart from the curious facts, the contestants also employ whatever devices they want to bring to the stage. Dr. Lonsborough, who sits in the panel of judges and ultimately picks the winner for the Czech Republic, says that there is one particular example that left an imprint in his mind.
A young scientist who was interested in butterfly wings and how the structure of the microstructure of the wing creates all these illusions of colour. They're illusions of colour because they're not colourful. It's just the way that the structures reflect light. And he was using his knowledge of that. He put it in context of he wanted to grab the attention. He wanted to really to find a girl to attract some girls. And so he was using his knowledge of these butterfly wings to do so. And he had constructed this amazing contraption which brought him onto stage, which enabled him to get into this sort of wingsuit and flutter. And it was an amazing piece of engineering. It was genius.
FameLab may be a clever way of bringing scientific problems into the public eye, but where do projects like it lie in the greater context of popularising science in the Czech Republic? And why do we need to make science popular anyway? Dr. Lonsborough says there is a long way to go, but the payoff is more than worth it.
If you consider science popularisation as the PR wing of a multinational organisation, which, by the way, science is, then the amount of money going into that effort, I think, is considerably less than is spent at the public relations of such, private organisations or other, indeed, public organisations. So on that respect, despite the fact that there's positive trends since I've arrived here in the Czech Republic, both nationally here and internationally, I think there's still a lot more that can be done. And the benefits are, there's a duality to the benefits. Not only is there a necessity to inform the public about the work, the research work which is being done at the expense of the taxpayer. So it means that we need to be engaging with the public far more effectively so they understand that their money that has been spent on science in the Czech Republic and indeed internationally is very well spent indeed, and is leading to all sorts of innovations, all sorts of incredibly important discoveries. Secondly, this transmission of information, this engagement and communication should be some sort of entertainment and fun as well. There's no reason why that we cannot do this in such a manner that it becomes, because science to a large extent is an expression. It's an expression of talent. It's an expression of skill. It's an expression in a similar way as artistic expression. And so I think that expression, as any other form, can be is often a subject of is a spectacle. And therefore, I think that science has huge potential in providing the general public with a form of intelligent entertainment.
Dr. Michael Lonsborough ending today's main feature brought to you by Tom McEncrow. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today here at Radio Prague. If you have any comments about the programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.